This is All Things Considered on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. The oppression of Black Americans has always been, to a certain extent, physical. Slavery, segregation, and police violence represent just a few of the ways society has regulated Black bodies to maintain white dominance. This weekend at the Black New England Conference, panelists will gather for a discussion on how women's resistance to this kind of oppression engages both body and spirit. Courtney Marshall, teacher at Phillips Exeter Academy, is one of the panelists, and she's with me now. Welcome.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much.
So let's start by unpacking this concept for those who might not be familiar with it, the concept of Black bodies moving through white-dominated spaces. Since you're speaking on a panel about how Black women in particular move through a white male-dominated space, what does that mean? What spaces are you referring to?
Wow. That's good. So my paper is specifically about fitness, but it's about walking. So I am a group exercise instructor, and I've been leading this kind of Black feminist fitness project for a few years. And so when I think about the space, I mean, in one sense, I am thinking about like the gym as a space, but I think for this session in particular, it's more about just Black women moving through spaces where they might have been criminalized before for walking. So I'm thinking about, I'm researching these vagrancy laws that come up after the Civil War around like unlawful assembly. And, you know, if Black people didn't look like they were at work, they were just kind of milling about, that could be something that they could be arrested or imprisoned for. So I'm kind of linking that type of criminalization of just movement to moments where Black people have used walking itself as a form of resistance, right? So everything from, say, you know, walking from the South to the North, right, for freedom in antebellum days, to the Montgomery bus boycott. So I'm kind of looking at how walking has been used for these resistance purposes.
Mm-hmm. And we think about those examples you mentioned of walking, we don't think of them as necessarily done for fitness, more for the way of social justice and creating political change. But why is the fitness aspect important to you?
Well, it's because a lot of, I won't say it, but I could be more specific. But the kind of the narrative around fitness in our culture is one that leaves Black women out, right? So it's either, so when we see stories about Black women and fitness, it is usually about their hair, you know, our hair, you know, Black women don't go to the gym because of hair, or it's about the lack of Black fitness instructors. You know, I think about, you know, work that has been done around Pilates, for example, or yoga. There are, you know, prominent Black women in those fields who talk about the dearth of representation, the ways it's difficult to become instructors in those areas. And so I wanted to challenge this narrative that Black people don't think about fitness or Black people don't think about exercise because the activities they do don't look like fitness. So I was really thinking about how might we take these activities that have, again, been these sources of, as you said, social justice, but also community building, health advocacy, and make those be important to discussions about fitness.
Can you talk a little bit about Girl Trek and the Associated Black History Boot Camp?
Yes, cool. So Girl Trek is an organization that in their founding, so they say they wanna have a health movement of Black women and girls who are using walking campaigns. They have really cool playlists that you can listen to, different meditations that you can do. And what they do is they have these campaigns. And so every day, and I've been a part of them, every day you get, you're walking in the spirit of, you know, Ella Baker or Fannie Lou Hamer, and you learn something about that person, and that's connected to the community that's being built through the walking, as well as the education that you're getting about that person. So Girl Trek has been just a phenomenal group for making the discussion about walking be something that everyone can join in. So the fact that they find an activity that they say you don't have to leave your community, you don't have to get in a car and go away. You can get a group of people and you can walk right in your own neighborhood, and keeping it local, I think is just, you know, a wonderful thing that they've done.
And we're speaking about this one day after we learned of one indictment in Louisville, Kentucky, related to the raid that led to the killing of Breonna Taylor. No charges for any of the officers who actually shot her, however. I imagine at a conference dedicated to Black women, the fate of Ms. Taylor will be on many people's minds this weekend.
Yes, I think so. And I think for my particular interests, I think around walking, I think about how before the announcement of what was going to happen there in Kentucky, movement was curtailed, right? So you do a state of emergency, or when, you know, acts of social uprising happen, it comes with curfew and it comes with barricades. So there's this criminalization of walking, right? Of being together with people and moving through space. Whether you're singing, you know, holding signs, you know, throwing rocks, like that, those are all different. But the mere fact of people coming together and walking together and being together in that way, the fact that is such a healing thing, I think, for folks to do. Of course, knowing that, you know, we don't want to be ableist, we don't want to assume that everybody can do that. But that to me is really important, that became more of the issue, like what are people going to do afterwards? How are they going to take up public space? So I can imagine it's going to be a very, very, as you said, very heavily weighting on people's hearts.
Courtney Marshall, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much.